Welcome to Keep What You Earn, your judgment and jargon-free zone for entrepreneurs of all levels. Get ready to learn how to scale your business, save money in taxes, and create a business that grows your wealth. If it feels like the financial side of business is like eating your vegetables, well then think of this podcast as the ranch dressing to make the process a little more enjoyable. My name is Shannon Weinstein. I'm a CPA and business owner on a mission to simplify money and empower others through knowledge. I hope this episode inspires you to take action, but remember that the information we share is for educational purposes only and is not individual tax advice. Now that we got that out of the way, let's start the show. So in chatting with today's guest, Adam Lean, one of the things that really stood out to me was his phrasing of what business owners currently do that we tend to see as CFOs, but it's definitely hard to hear as a business owner when you feel like you're getting called out on this. And I've been a victim of it too, where you find yourself not creating a business that creates money like a machine, but creating a job, just building yourself a job. You own a job. And that's really what self-employment really feels like, is you own a job doing it, what it is that you do. You know, back when I started my business, and I think most people, when they first started their businesses based on a trade or on a skill that they have as a professional, you're pretty much going to be starting a job of your own, self-employment. And what Adam and I are going to talk about on today's episode is really how to turn that into a real business that is going to then create cash flow and be able to fund your lifestyle, but also your other financial goals. You know, we always talk about how this should be a machine that makes money so that you can then put it into another machine that makes money through investments or through real estate or through other things that are going to help you build wealth. You know, your business is not just a way to spend time. A business is not something that's here to entertain you. A business is here to ultimately make money and generate cash flow. And by the way, we're also going to unpack the difference between those two things. What does it actually mean to be profitable, aka make money? And what does it mean to have a positive cash flow? We're going to cover that and more in today's episode. Now, a little bit about Adam. He's a former accountant turned two-time entrepreneur who built, scaled, and sold two businesses while helping other businesses. He realized that his passion was teaching and providing the tools to business owners to help them make more money and have peace of mind. He currently runs the CFO Project, which is a training company that trains financial professionals on how to offer CFO and advisory services. And I'm really excited to welcome him onto the show today to hear more, both about how he helps accountants do this, but how he's learned so much about how business owners can leverage focusing on cash flow and focusing on the core action items in their business in order to drive real results. So without further ado, let's hear from Adam. Hey, Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey, Shannon, I'm really excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Could you just introduce yourself real quick to those listening?
Yeah. So my name is Adam Lean, and I help business owners turn their business into a machine that makes money instead of what most business owners, a machine that, or a job that is really low paying and high stressful. So I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. And talk to me about, I know, like we say, build a business that's a money making machine. Like, I mean, isn't that the point of owning a business, basically? Like, Isn't that what most people want to do when they start a business? And When you say you help people do that, what are they doing instead?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a great question. Most people start a business for one of two reasons. Either they want control of their time. They want to be able to dictate when they work and where they work. And they also want control of money, being able to make as much as they want. They don't want to be capped at whatever their employer has. And so business ownership is a fantastic way to gain control of both freedom of money and freedom of time. But ironically, though, that most business owners fast forward a few years after they started their business, they lose their freedom of time and freedom of money because business ownership is hard. And most business owners started their business because they're an expert at a craft. And so they start a business doing that craft. So think of like somebody that owns a heating and air business. They most likely started their heating and air business because they have a background in heating and air. Plug in dentists, architects, chefs, I mean, hairstylists. I mean, you name it. Most people start a business around the thing that they're good at, which is natural, of course. I mean, most businesses are started that way. And so what ends up happening, though, is that most business owners are working in the business because they are the one that does their thing the best. If I'm a plumber and I start a plumbing business, I'm the chief plumber, chief salesperson, chief marketer, chief everything. But what they're left with, though, is a job. If you're there wearing all the hats, you own a job, but you have the worst of both worlds. You have a job without the steady paycheck, and you have a job that's not really making that much money. You're losing your time, and freedom of control. So what we help business owners do is turn their business into a machine. And this is what I like talking about, helping business owners turn their business into a machine that does what a machine is supposed to do, which you hit the nail on the head, Shannon, of course, which is to make money. I mean, think of a washing machine. What's a washing machine's job? To clean clothes. Well, if the washing machine's not working as intended, if it's not cleaning clothes, there's something wrong with that machine. You just got to figure out what's wrong with it and fix it. It's the same thing with a business. A business is just a machine whose job it is to make money. If it's not making money, just figure out what's wrong and fix it. And that's what we help diagnose and figure out what that is.
Yeah. And can you describe how you guys do that in terms of what you call that service?
Yeah. So essentially, we offer several different services, but it boils down to we are essentially like an outsourced CFO, if you will, an outsourced chief financial officer. So we help business owners in several different ways. And, you know, one of our main programs is essentially it's a membership program where you join for a full year. We're going to help you transform your business from a job that you own into a machine that makes money. So you're going to go from owning a job, a low paying, high stressful job, into a machine that you own that is a cash flow producing machine, which cash flow is just the amount of money that your business creates every year that you get to do what you want with. That is positive cash flow. And so our job is to help you figure out how to do that so that you can replace yourself as the chief everything. And now you are working on your business constantly and you have a business that's way more valuable. If you want to sell it one day, it's worth way more because most businesses are sold as a multiple of cash flow. And so to sell your business for a lot one day, you got to increase your cash flow. Well, to pay yourself more, you as the business owner, what's left over is what you get to pay yourself with. And that comes from cash flow. And so our job is to help you figure out how to transform your business from a job that you own into a machine that makes money that you own, into a real business.
And I know you keep bringing up cash flow, right, Adam? And we talk about cash flow a lot on this show, but I'm interested in your definition of what you consider cash flow and how that differs from profitability.
Yeah, totally. That's a great question because there's a lot of confusion out there, I think, in the business world about the difference. Cash flow is the amount of money that is either added or subtracted to your bank balance from, say, last year. So, for example, on December 31st, if you had $10,000 in the bank, December 31st of last year, you had $10,000 in the bank. And then this December 31st of this coming year, you end up with $15,000 in the bank. Well, in that year time frame, you had an increase of cash flow of $5,000. You had what's called positive cash flow. Let's say that you had $10,000 last year and then you ended this year with $5,000 in the bank. You still had cash flow, but it was negative cash flow of $5,000. So the key to a successful business, I mean, really the only key to a successful business is being able to generate positive cash flow on a regular basis. So month over month, year over year, as long as your business can generate positive cash flow, then you'll stay in business. I mean, literally every business in the history of time would still be here today if they were able to generate positive cash flow. Now, how is that different from profit? Well, there's multiple ways to differ from profit, but let me start off saying this. Uber, for example, you know, we all know Uber, the ride sharing company. They have been in business for almost a decade and they have yet to make a profit. They've had a loss every year. But why are they still in business? Well, it's because they have cash flow. Now, they have cash flow from investors are pouring money into Uber, and that's how they're able to stay afloat. And hopefully one day they'll make cash flow. I mean, Amazon started that way. Most big businesses, giant businesses, started off making a loss, but were funded, were able to stay in business because they had positive cash flow from investors. Well, most small and medium-sized businesses do not have investors. I mean, they just don't. The average construction company, heating and air, hair salon, restaurant, whatever, architecture firm, dentist office, if the only investor really is the business owner themselves. So you either go into debt or you take out personal funds to start your business and keep it afloat. Well, to keep your business going and to actually make money for you and to have that freedom of time and freedom of money, you've got to generate positive cash flow. Now, going back to the question, what's the difference between profit and cash flow? Think about this. Let's say you own a construction company, a $3 million construction company, and you had one client last month, and you charge that client $30,000 to renovate their bathroom, okay? It's huge. So you made revenue of $30,000. You spent, let's say, $20,000 in labor and materials to supply that, and your profit is $10,000, right? Everybody wins. But what if your client doesn't pay? What if they default? Now, not only do you not have a profit, you still have a profit of $10,000 on the books because you made revenue $30,000, you had expenses of $20,000, you had profit on the books, $10,000. But if the customer doesn't pay, not only are you out that profit's not in the bank, you have negative cash flow because you spent the $20,000 on the payroll and the cost of the materials to do the job. So now you have on paper, $10,000 in profit, but in your bank account, you have negative $20,000. And that's just one example of the difference between profit and cash flow. You know, profit, we all know, if you look at the income statement, income minus expenses equals profit. I mean, pretty basic. But the income and expenses does not include things like paying down debt, paying your taxes, paying yourself a draw. What if the customer doesn't pay, like I just talked about? Investing in big expenses, capital purchases, like land, trucks, inventory. I mean, none of that's out of profit. And so it's a big, it's confusing, but just know that cash flow is not profit and cash flow is the only thing required to stay in business.
Yeah, I agree. I always say cash flow is profit infused with timing. Yeah. And that's really a big part of it too, is the timing aspect.
Yeah.
So
I think there's a lot of confusion because profit is something that's easily understood because you just run a report in QuickBooks or Xero, whatever your software is, and it just tells you what profit is. And it's important. Profit is important, obviously, but cash flow is more important. But the thing is, the story, I told you about Uber. They're able to stay in business because they have cash from investors pouring in. Well, the best way for business owners, most business owners, to get cash is from operations, making a profit. So you have to make profit. I mean, you just have to. But more importantly, you got to collect on that profit. And that's essentially what I wanted to clarify. I mean, revenue obviously is important. You got to have that. You have to have profit. But at the bottom line, you have to have cash flow. And that's really the big difference.
Yeah. And I think that, it's understanding the difference between profit and cash flow, but also what drives cash flow. Mm-hmm. What would you say are the biggest pitfalls or the biggest mistakes or misunderstandings even when it comes to how to maximize your cash flow? Like, where are people maybe overlooking things that are impacting their cash flow?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's essentially six drivers of cash flow. We call them drivers. These are things that drive cash flow. And every business on earth, large or small, has these same drivers of cash flow. And you have to pay attention to these drivers. Before I explain the drivers, the biggest mistake that I think business owners make is they run their business out of their bank account. They look at their bank account, say, I have $5,000. I can, buy this thing today. Or I only have $10,000, things aren't good. I mean, running your business out of a bank account is not so good, but the six drivers that drive cash flow that we've got to constantly look at and improve, or first is profit. That's the first thing. I mean, if you think about it, that's the very top of the funnel of cash flow. You got to make a profit, number one, because if you don't make a profit, in order to have cash flow, you either have to go into debt and or you have to get investor money. But let's going at that in just a second. There's six drivers of profit. The first driver is profit, or six drivers of cash flow. The first driver is profit. The second driver is what we call days sales outstanding. It's the number of days it takes for your client or customer to pay you. That drives profit because in the example I just gave about the construction company, if they don't pay, then you have the number of days it takes to pay. The longer the days, that's the number of days you're out of cash. You don't have that cash. Your customer has that cash that's owed to you. So that's a driver of profit. Driver of cash flow. Another driver of cash flow is days in inventory. This is the number of days it takes you, if you're a retail business, number of days it takes you to sell through your inventory. If you're a retail store and if you buy stock inventory, and if it sits on your shelf, that literally is like cash sitting on your shelf. So you want that inventory to be sold as soon as possible. So you want to lessen the days your inventory is in inventory. So that's called days in inventory. And that generates cash. Because if you spend $1,000 on a product that sits on your shelf for 6 months, that means you have 6 months days in inventory. That's 6 months that you can't use that cash to reinvest it back into the business and more inventory. Another is the purchase or sale. Another driver of cash flow is the purchase or sale of assets. Things like a truck. If you purchase a truck, it doesn't come out of profit, it comes out of cash flow. So if you purchase a truck, that negatively impacts cash flow. If you sell something, let's say you sell a machine or a truck, if you sell an asset, you get cash in the bank. So that's another driver of cash flow. Notice that all of these drivers so far can help increase cash flow or decrease cash flow, but they're not necessarily good or bad. There's a limit. This is why business owners need help figuring out what to do. Because if you have, let's say you have less days sales outstanding, let's say you have 2 days worth of days sales outstanding. On the surface, that sounds good. That means you collect from your customers faster. But what if you're leaving money on the table? In other words, you have so strict credit policies, you don't extend credit to your customers, that you're preventing possible sales from happening. You turn down sales because you say, well, you have to pay me within 2 days. I mean, if that example with the construction company, what if you extended your credit policy to 60 days? Maybe you make way more sales and you still collect in 60 days and your net cash flow at the end of the day is still larger. Okay, so the fifth driver of cash flow is debt, is the use of or pay down of debt. So if you use debt, if you put something on a credit card, get a bank loan, whatever, you increase cash. If you pay down the credit card, pay down the bank, you decrease cash. There's no, depending on the situation, either method could be good or bad, depending on the business. And then the last driver of cash flow is investments or withdrawals from the owner. So like Uber, that's where they get the majority of their cash is from investments from owners, which are the people that own stock in Uber. With businesses, it's business owners investing their own funds. So if you invest your own funds, cash goes up, cash flow goes up. If you take distributions, cash flow goes down. So those are the six drivers of cash flow that we've got to constantly monitor. And the goal is just to have a net increase in cash flow year after year. That's how you'll stay in business. And that's how you'll have a growing and successful business.
Yeah. Again, I guess putting it in your terms, as this is like the money-making machine, these are the gears that are running it. So could That's you just right. recap and list out the six one more time, just bullet point?
Yeah. So profit, making a profit. And there's mm-hmm. coincidentally, there's a lot of drivers that impact profit and revenue, but we're just talking right. about cash flow. Profit, days sales outstanding, days in inventory, purchase or sale of assets, the pay down or use of debt, and then investments or withdrawal from the owners of the business.
Yeah. And it's worth noting that like not all of these will apply to every type of business, right? If they don't have inventory or
Correct.
Maybe they're only selling something online, say that's just a direct purchase through like an online checkout. So it's not like a ton of days sales outstanding. And yeah. you can fluctuate these different things. And I love that you put that they're not good or bad. They're just measurements.
Correct.
It's kind of like food where you say like, it's not good or bad. It just might be calorie dense, fat dense, protein dense. And it depends on what you're looking for right now and That's how right. you're balancing it all together to That's form right. a healthy business.
Yeah, a good example of that is debt. I mean, there's a, if you use debt wisely, it could be good for the business. For example, if you use debt to purchase something that will have a return, then that could be good for the business. If you own a pizza restaurant and your pizza oven went out, if you don't have the cash to afford another pizza oven, you go into debt or get financing from somebody, which is another version of debt. If you go into debt to find that to purchase that pizza oven, that is probably a good use of debt because you know you're going to get a return on that pizza oven. You know what I mean? It's when you get into trouble by using debt on things that are not going to produce a return or things that are paying the day-to-day bills of a business. That's not necessarily a good use of debt.
And I always put debt as the purchasing buying power. So by buying power, so you're kind of, and you're also buying time, saying, hey, I need this money right now, but I'm going to be able to pay it back. It's just a question of timing. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when I'll be able to pay this back. If that's the position you're in, I find debt to be a really healthy alternative to waiting until the operations can support that or trying to take on investors, let's say, and giving up control of your business. I think debt that's is right. actually a really healthy tool to use when done intelligently and intentionally.
Yep, absolutely. 100% agree with you. And that's the thing that business owners, because they got into business, because they're an expert at a craft, they're not necessarily an expert at all these other things. And so they need somebody to come alongside them and help them. And we call it an outsourced CFO service, but the word CFO, essentially what we mean by it is just somebody, as it relates to small to medium-sized businesses, is really just somebody that a business owner can trust to guide them to have a growing and successful business. And ideally, in an ideal world, this would be your accountant or bookkeeper doing this. Their job would be to help guide you towards having a growing and successful business. Unfortunately, most accountants and bookkeepers don't do this because they don't have time to do this and they're not getting paid to do this. Their job is to record the past, keep the books. But ideally, and this is what we do in another business that we have is we train accountants to do this because we feel it's so important for accountants and bookkeepers to guide their client towards how to understand numbers because cash flow is a financial concept. It is, and it's confusing. It can be confusing. And so you need somebody in your life that understands the numbers, but also understands strategy, business strategy, and can mirror those to combine those two things, financial strategy and business strategy, into a plan of action. So you know, the business owner knows exactly what to do to ensure they never run out of cash flow and they never run out of making a profit and their business is growing and successful.
Totally agree. And just to kind of like rewind back a little bit, Adam, into how you got into this and became so passionate about helping business owners, tell me about your background in accounting, what you observed, and why you're passionate about serving business owners in this way.
Yeah, so I graduated college and became an accountant. And honestly, Shannon, I didn't really like it at all because my job was to record the past. That's all they really wanted me to do. But I really wanted to help the business grow. That's what I wanted to do. All my other colleagues who were accountants, they didn't want to do that. So I was like, I'm just not in the right pond. I need to be in a different pond. So I wanted to help the business grow. And so I started my own business on the side. This is back in 2007. And I really enjoyed working on the business. It was my own business, but I enjoyed working on it. And then I started meeting all these other people in that owned businesses and realized I took for granted the fact that I understood the numbers. They didn't. They owned their business. They were passionate about what they did. They did a really good job providing the craft of their business, but they weren't making any money. They owned a job, and a job where if they left for, you know, 2 weeks, a week, or even a day, their business doesn't run as smoothly. And it's because they own a job, not a machine. And so I wanted to help these people. So I started helping them and realized that they just needed some basic guidance and saying, look, Mr. or Mrs. Business Owner, just focus on these two things this month. That'll have the biggest impact to cash flow. You don't have to worry about the numbers behind it. I was a trusted figure in their life. These are the things to focus on. Just focus on these things while you're running your business. And then the next month, once they focus, once they accomplish those two things, the next month, maybe I give them three things or one thing, a big thing to do. And every month they would do it, and consistently their profit and cash flow would increase. And then they were able to use that positive cash flow they created, to do bigger things where they were able to invest in their business, to hire more people, hire better people, do more marketing, expand, you know, go on vacation, pay themselves more, send their kids to college. I had a client that wanted to, he owned a large doctor practice. He had eight doctors, almost 15 doctors for, working for him. He had $8 million practice. They did colonoscopy screenings. And I worked with him for a long time. His passion was not money. His passion was helping eradicate colon cancer because he says it's the number one preventable cancer in men. That was his passion. And so he wanted to do research, spend his time doing research to eradicate, you know, colon cancer. Anyways, but he had a business to run. And so he wanted to be able to get out of running the business so he could focus on his passion. And that was part of my job, is to help him figure out how to generate cash flow so we could replace him, so he could spend his time doing that, so that he can, and also have a business that's making money to afford him to do research. But the point is that business owners are good at what they do. They just need somebody in their lives that they could come alongside them and just help them.
Yeah. And I think to your point, like, I love that you zeroed in on certain focus areas and a limited number of them, because I also find business owners, including us as business owners, like, this is just true of everybody, that when you have too many different chickens to chase, you're not going to catch them all. And when you have too many different things to focus on, you can't get one thing done. You're going to kind of half-ass everything. And you're going to be making incremental inch steps towards everything instead of a mile in one direction. So when you have somebody who's willing to kind of help you zoom in on, this is the thing that's really going to move the needle the fastest for you and what you should focus on, that's worth its weight in gold, because now you have that fast track, you have that acceleration to the result that you want, as opposed to doing all the things all at once and then having to wait a lot longer for those results.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because most business owners are focused on a lot of things, but usually it's the wrong things, unfortunately. They are running their business, they're in the day-to-day, and they focus on things that are urgent, but not necessarily important. And so we're saying, I understand, we come along you aside you and say, look, we understand that what you have to do is urgent, but it's not necessarily important. So here's two things that are urgent and important, that if you could do these alongside the things you are already doing, running your business, fighting fires, dealing with customers, employees, and things like that, if you could just do these two things, it will have the biggest impact to cash flow. And then over time, they realize that the things that they were focused on, they don't have to focus on as much anymore, because now they have cash to be able to hire other people to help manage the company, better people, better employees, better processes, more inventory. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, it's crazy. I had another client who owned a large mitigation company. They would go in, if a house catches on fire, they would go in and sort of mitigate it and repair it. Anyways, his focus was on getting clients, getting new customers in the door. He even had rented a billboard at the baseball stadium for $25,000 a season. And after looking at his numbers, I realized that's not his problem. He would have a better, more cash flow if he was able to limit the number of the revenue coming in the door, but increase his margins. He would have more cash flow because he's saving money in lead generation and marketing, and he would be increasing the margins from the customers that he does have. So if, you know, I can't remember his specific numbers, but we had him go from like a 15% margin to like 20% margin. That had added a ton of money to the cash flow, to the bottom line, to his bank account, which means he was able to go out and hire better people. And then eventually we turned the lead generation socket back on, but now he's making much more money on the sales he is getting. And he wouldn't have done that. I'm confident he would not have done that if it wasn't for my intervention saying, this is what we need to focus on.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's the focusing on the right things that are going to move the needle, both, and here's the thing, from the business owner standpoint and the professional standpoint. The other thing I find, and you hit the nail on the head with what the professionals focus on, is looking at the past or looking at
just reporting what the data actually says, but not turning that into decisions for the business owner or telling them what this means for what to do next. I do want to go into a little bit on how you help fellow professionals do that, because that is a big mindset and paradigm shift, right? Because a lot of business owners are struggling right now as we're kind of getting out of tax season with, my accountant doesn't quite help me save money in taxes. My bookkeeper isn't really helping me get insights. I don't know what the heck this profit and loss statement is actually telling me. They just give me these statements. I act like I know what they say, and I might as well be looking at my blood work, you know, without the key of what's healthy.
Totally.
And you go, I don't know what these actually mean. So how are you helping bridge the gap between business owners and kind of the accountants' deliverables and their work that they're doing?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Of all the people in a business owner's lives, they want to turn to the financial person in their life because the financial person already understands their numbers. They want to turn to the financial person in their life to tell them what to do, to have a better business, a successful business.
Yeah.
But when most business owners turn to their financial professional in their life, their bookkeeper, their accountant, and ask for help, they'll say things like, you know, you say I made 100 grand in profit and I have to pay 25 grand in taxes, but only have 10,000 in the bank. Why is that? Or can I afford to hire somebody? Or should I buy this truck? Or, you know, a myriad of questions that business owners will ask their financial professional in their lives. When they ask those questions, most accountants will say, oh, all the answers are here in your books. Here you go. Here's your balance sheet. Here's your P&L. Or they'll attempt to explain it in accounting language. In either case, the business owner is left more confused because they don't understand accounting, nor should they have to understand accounting. Just like I shouldn't have to understand how my engine works to drive my car. They just need you, the accountant in their life, to understand it for them and just tell them in simple language, here's what to do. So why aren't accountants doing this? Well, I think it's for two reasons. One, they're not getting paid to do that. Their job, they're getting paid to do the taxes. The average, I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago, the average tax return that an accountant is charging is $904 a year. That's not a lot of money to be able to provide advice on top of that, good advice. I mean, you're in the hole then if you're providing advice on top of charging your client $900 a year. The second reason is that I don't think that many accountants know how to do it in a way that's actually helpful to their client. Most accountants are trained in taxes or bookkeeping or auditing. They don't really understand what the business owner is going through and how to communicate in a language the business owner understands to get them to take action. And that's the key. So we train accountants on how to do that, how to understand what a business owner is facing and how to communicate what you know. Because most accountants usually know what the problem is in the business, but most accountants are just bad at communicating that. So we help the accountant understand what's going on in the business, what needs to be improved, and then how to communicate that in a way that makes sense to the business owner so they'll take action. And that's the key, taking action. You could be the CFO for Coca-Cola right now and you could be the most brilliant CFO on the planet and still fail at being the CFO or a business advisor to a small, medium-sized business if you cannot get the business owner to take action. Because business owners do not want to talk accounting. They don't want to understand accounting. And if we continue to try to just talk in language of accounting, it's never going to work. We've got to talk like a human to a human and be their guide to help them have a successful business. And what is a successful business? Helping them generate positive cash flow on a consistent basis.
Totally agree. So could you, Adam, just go through how folks can find out more about your company and if they are a professional listening to this, how they can learn more about what you do to help train accountants to think this way?
Yeah, so if you're a business owner, we have a website called businessownersonly.com. businessownersonly.com. And there's several different areas that we can help you. And there's a lot of free resources there as well. If you're an accountant or a bookkeeper or a CPA, if you go to thecfoproject.com, thecfoproject.com, there's several free resources as well and trainings. Essentially, we have a program where we'll train you on how to provide a CFO service so you can escape what we call the accountant's trap, where you're essentially you're stuck working for low fees with high demanding clients, and you can't raise your fees because there's always someone else that's willing to do the same job for less. So we show you how to escape the accountant's trap there.
Love it. Thank you so much, Adam, for your time today and for sharing your insights with business owners. Guys, check out all the resources that Adam just mentioned. They're going to be right down below in the show notes. Thank you again, Adam, so much.
Shannon, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
One of the things that holds people back from starting their business and going all in on it to grow it is this hesitation around setting it up properly or cleaning things up to make sure everything is legally and compliantly sound. Between setting up the actual business legally and knowing how to manage the money, there's a lot that can intimidate somebody and scare them into not starting. And that's why I bundled up my 5 best resources all together for brand new business owners or for anyone who's looking to clean things up. This is my 5-day mindset refresh because you know it always starts with mindset. And my business financial quick starter, which is my starter course for anyone looking to start a business with all the key elements you need to do in order. My tax deduction guide with hundreds of deductions you can take for your business today. My Money Pro matchmaker on how to find the right professional for you. And my cash flow forecasting mini course. This is the ultimate Swiss Army knife. It includes tools and templates, everything you need to get started on your business successfully or clean things up if you feel like you've fallen behind. Grab your copy right now. The Small Business Starter Kit is yours for free using the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and review on your podcast platform. This small action goes a long way for podcasters to get our message heard by more business owners just like you. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to information about our guests and ways to get in touch with me. We'll see you on the next episode.